I must tell you some experience I had in the past. I was doing postgraduate studies, and my wife came down. And in the meantime, I've grown a moustache. I met her with a moustache, by the way. And she was complaining at this. And I said, no, I've got the right to, you know, to grow a moustache. Man, and she was moaning at me, sometimes in hard words. But I kept on growing my moustache. And one day, she was washing dishes. And I was looking at her, and I saw the tears dropping from her eyes. I think this is the best woman, defense mechanism the wives have ever discovered. And I also had tears in my eyes when I took off my moustache. So two people cried. But you know, this simple incident tells me that if you offend, there's hurt. And this is why we should be so sensitive. You're not hurting people, not doing things that hurt them. Let's go back to the famous statement. It would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in contemplation of the life of Christ. This is the only model we can follow. We should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones. As we thus dwell upon his great sacrifice for us, it was for us. Look at the price he paid for you. Our confidence in him will be more constant. Our love will be quickened. And we shall be more deeply imbued with his Spirit. I need his Spirit in my life. If we would be saved at last, we must learn the lesson of penitence. Where? And humiliation. Where? At the foot of the cross. Let's just look at the sequence. The first trial, Annas, preliminary trial, from midnight to 2 o'clock. Second one, Annas and Caiaphas, the two of them, from 2 to 3. And then the Sanhedrin, 3 to 4. And then the Sanhedrin again at sunrise. And we looked at Pilate, that was from 6 to 7. Now we're going to look at Herod, 7 to 8. And then back to Pilate, 8 to 9. Luke 24, 23, 4 and 5 says, so Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, I find no fault in this man. But they were the more fierce, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. Looking for a loophole now. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. You're looking at Masada, a very famous place. Herod the Great. This is not the Herod from the time when Jesus was on trial. Herod the Great built the fortress of Masada. He had two palaces. This is the northern palace. I think he was not only the greatest builder Israel has ever seen, but he was a world builder. I marvel when I visit the archaeological sites where he put up stuff. Herod Antipas was his son, the son of Herod the Great. Now, Herod the Great also built the site of Mukavir, or Machaurus, that you're looking at. Now, where is this? And who lived here? After the death of Herod the Great, his son Antipas restored the place and he lived up here. He lived at Tiberias and he lived here. To who was Herod Antipas married? Well, he was married to a lady called Huldu, the daughter of Aretas IV, also called Harit in the Nabataean language. So he got a pretty bride from the most beautiful city of the time, Petra. Just look at the artwork here. Beautiful. Well, they were married for 25 years when he said to her one day, "You know, I don't love you anymore." Old story. Now, a background helps us to appreciate the story of Jesus a little better. How do you react when reprimanded? People pointing a mistake out in your life. Reprimanding speaks the truth, and the truth hurts. We don't want to hear that we are wicked or bad. And that's dangerous. If we listen, we can grow. If we ignore it, we will never grow. If I refuse discipline, I refuse everlasting life. And when I accept it, I can develop. We've been here before. Yes, Loretta, again at, remember the name of the place, Gibeah. How did King Saul and King David react to reprimands? This is new archaeological excavations at the city of David, at the Ophel in Jerusalem, ruins of his palace, according to some archaeologists. David did not find fault with the reprimander. He searched his heart and repented. And you and me, how do we react? John the Baptist reproved Herod Antipas in love because he left his wife Huldah and he married another lady. He gets the opportunity to see the enormity of his sin, repent and make things right. So we're coming back to Jesus and Herod in a few minutes' time. But just this background. His reaction. When John the Baptist, because Herod had to pass this place on the way to Tiberias and coming back, he had to pass here. And this great preacher did not hesitate to point out this man's problem. And what did he do? He shut John up in prison. Of course, his wife told him to do it. And this is the place where John was jailed. Free man preaching the word of God. Suddenly he was in a cell. How do I treat persons, people, wives, husbands, that point out a weakness in my life? Do I put them in a prison? Do I lock them up in the jail of my unforgiving attitude, like Herod did to John? Herod had an alcohol problem. And he was dishonest. Jesus referred to him as a fox. John and Jesus was prepared to help him, but he declined. Let us read from the Bible what happened up here. I'm sitting at Mukavir, where he was beheaded. It says, Mark 6, verse 21, "Then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles." They loved feasts. "The high officers and the chief men of Galilee." 22. "And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, 'Ask me,'" listen to this, "'whatever you want, and I will give it to you.'" 23:24. "He also swore to her, 'Whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to the half of my kingdom.' So she went out and said to her mother, Herodias, 'What shall I ask?' And she said, 'The head of John the Baptist.'" 25. "Immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once," very demanding, "'the head of John the Baptist on a platter.'" Every time I visit this site, my mind goes to John the Baptist and to Antipas. I don't know where his cell was. There are a few places I saw. Did John expect it to be released that night? I think so. 26, and the king was exceedingly sorry. Yet because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. So he rejected the Elijah message. That's dangerous. Could this be the place of festivity? As I walk around these sites, my imagination runs away with me. Verse 27 and 28. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. What a shocking story. This is Herod Antipas. We think with disdain of what a mother, a daughter, and King Herod did. At the Umayyad Mosque in Damascus, beautiful place, they have the head of John the Baptist in this shrine. Can I learn something from Umayyad? When we reject a prophet's counsel, we do not have any protection against the evil one. Will even kill a prophet. You know, there was a time when the Holy Spirit pleaded with Herod. He wanted to do what was right, but he never got to do it. What does the Greek say on this coin? There you've got Tetrarch and Herodos in Greek. These were the coins from this man's time. So it's wonderful to do archaeology as well as looking at the biblical narrative. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus. Matthew 14, verse 4. This was after he beheaded John the Baptist. There's his name on the coin. Archaeology says he was an historic figure. For a time, Herod feebly sought to break the chain of lust that bound him. But Herodias, his second wife, fastened him the more firmly in her toils and found revenge upon the Baptist by inducing Herod to cast him into prison. Mark 6:20, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. So there was a family quarrel. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. He loved the message of the second Elijah. If we reject light, we receive darkness. He rejected the light of the second Elijah, and he received darkness. When light is rejected, even the faintest light, we may reject him, Christ, the great light, altogether. Be careful how you treat light, how you treat truth. Do you think Herod could sleep after he beheaded John the Baptist? I was standing next to this pillar and I thought of him sleeping that night. I don't think he slept. How long did he remember his crime? He silenced the voice of the prophet, but his message kept on speaking to his conscience. Never left him. Did he become a nervous wreck? Mark 6:14. Now King Herod heard of him, that's Christ, for his name had become well known. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. Bit confused, eh? 15 and 16. Others said it is Elijah, and others said it is the prophet, or like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, he said, this is John, whom I beheaded. Has he been raised from the dead? What is one of the causes of mental illness? Deuteronomy, wonderful book to read, describes the kind of harvest when we sow seeds of sin. 28:65, you shall find no rest. Hear it? You shall find no rest. A trembling heart, failing eyes, anguish of soul. Sin is very expensive. Maybe you've experienced this. 66, your life shall hang in doubt before you. Your life hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. These are the results of sin. 67, in the morning you shall say, oh, that it were evening. And in the evening you shall say, oh, that it were morning. Because of the fear which terrifies your heart, and because of the sight which your eyes see. You know, you can recall your crimes. These are the miserable and pleasant results of selfish, sinful behavior. What is the solution to the sin problem? When you break with sin, by God's grace, of course, heavenly peace floods your soul and God cancels your wicked past. If you haven't done it yet, try it. It's a peace that transcends your greatest hopes and dreams. One Friday morning, when Herod was on state business in Jerusalem, he received a message from Pilate. He is sending a man to him by the name of Jesus to investigate and pronounce sentence. 23 verse 8. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some more miracles done by him. So why was he eager to see Jesus again, or Jesus for the first time? Was there still hope for this arrogant, sensual, cruel Herod, the murderer? Yes. Luke 9:9. So he sought to see him. There was a desire for him to see Jesus. But he never did what he wanted to do. This was shortly after he beheaded John the Baptist. Unfortunately, pride prevented him from seeking and finding Jesus. It could have been a wonderful story of forgiveness and restoration. Does Jesus recognize even the slightest desire for people to see him? No. If you want to see him, he's going to reveal himself to you. In his itinerary, he's to seek and save sinners. Jesus came to Herod on this very important Friday, this other Friday. He came to Herod with salvation, with forgiveness, with restoration. How would Herod receive him? If Christ would come to you this moment, how would you receive him? On a previous occasion, he beheaded John the Baptist. Now he gets the opportunity to see the innocence of Jesus, accepts him, and sets him free. This was the purpose of Jesus coming to him. What is Herod going to do? What are we going to do? Luke 23 verse 8, he hoped to see some miracle done by him. The desire to have a close relationship with him is gone. Now he just wants sensation. See how he performs a miracle. He was seeking sensation. He was not seeking salvation. How sad. Could sensational religion be dangerous at times? He got the decrepit and maimed, and Christ was ordered to prove his claims by working a miracle. So he went to outpatients and he says, come, come, come to the mediclinic, come, come along. I'm going to ask this man to perform miracles to heal you people. Sensationalism. Do I practice a religion full of conditions? Christ, you perform a miracle, and then I'll accept you. No. Religion has got no conditions. Jesus the potter did not come to satisfy the curiosity of people. He came to change and mold and save people. Herod, Jesus wanted to perform the greatest miracle of all. Herod, a change of heart, a rebirth in your life. You missed out on the miracle of a lifetime. The Savior was at your place, and you missed out. Please do not let him visit you without yielding your life to him. Luke 23 verse 9, then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. Jesus was quiet, didn't speak one word to Herod. Why not? He rejected the Elijah message. And this is very serious. Jesus, the majesty of heaven, had nothing to add. If I reject light, God will not send me additional light. So please, if you have light that you haven't internalized to it, because you will not get additional light. How do I react to prophetic messages? You know, I must examine myself continually. If I reject them, I reject the Jesus of my life. Can you visualize the frustrated Herod? Jesus ignores him. He's offended because Jesus would not speak to him. Those lips that had uttered the most impressive truth, that in tones of tenderest entreaty had pleaded with the most sinful and the most degraded, were closed to the haughty king who felt no need of a savior. And instead of falling at the feet of Jesus like Mary did, he decided to pour out his vengeance on Jesus. Verse 11, then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. The greatest contempt in human history. Herod's face grew dark with passion. Turning to the multitude, he angrily denounced Jesus as an impostor. Then to Christ he said, if you will give me no evidence of your claim, I will deliver you up to the soldiers and to the people. They may succeed in making you speak. If you are an impostor, death at their hands is only what you merit. If you are the Son of God, save yourself by working a miracle. And Jesus opened not his mouth. No sooner were these words spoken than a rush was made for Christ. Can you see it? Like wild beasts, the crowd darted upon their prey. Jesus was dragged this way and that, Herod joining the mob in seeking to humiliate the Son of God. This was crueler than Caiaphas and Pilate. Had not the Roman soldiers interposed and forced back the maddened throng, the Savior would have been torn in pieces. They blindfolded Jesus and mocked him. Herod was foremost in this. They lost all self-control and acted like demons. And the devil was present to destroy Christ. All that these wicked, corrupt soldiers helped on by Herod and the Jewish dignitaries, could instigate, was heaped upon the Savior. Yet his divine patience failed not. He overcame so that we could be saved. I want to read this again. All that these wicked, corrupt soldiers, helped on by Herod and the Jewish dignitaries, could instigate, was heaped upon the Savior. Yet his divine patience failed not. Christ's persecutors had tried to measure his character by their own. That represented him as vile as themselves. But back of all the present appearance, another scene intruded itself. A scene which they will one day see in all its glory. Christ's divinity was revealed. There were some who trembled at Christ's presence, while the rude throng were bowing in mockery before him. Some who came forward for that purpose turned back afraid and silenced. Why? Christ's divinity flashed through humanity. This happened about 10 times. Herod was convicted. The last rays of merciful light were shining upon his sin-hardened heart. Think of that. Divinity flashing through Christ in order to convince Herod of his sin and inviting him to accept the Son of God. And he refused. We will not be lost one day because of sins committed, but because we've rejected the offer of salvation. He felt that this was no common man. The divinity had flashed through humanity. What a moment. At the very time when Christ was encompassed by mockers, adulterers, and murderers, Herod felt that he was beholding God upon his throne. Hardened as he was, Herod dared not ratify the condemnation of Christ. He wished to relieve himself of the terrible responsibility and send Jesus back to the Roman judgment hall. When the Roman soldiers led Jesus away, Herod's son of mercy disappeared forever. With a wave of his hand, Herod sends Jesus back to Pilate. The way Jesus walked out of Herod's life on that Friday is the way the Holy Spirit also forsook him. Be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He committed the unpardonable sin, the sin against the Holy Spirit. 2 coins of the tetrarch, Herodos Tetrarchon. 8 years later, in 39, he and Herodias were banned to Lyons in Gaul, where they died shortly thereafter. What a sad end. Could the human remains discovered at Gaul be that of Herod? I don't know. When Jesus comes, he will call the dead to rise, but Herod will remain silent, motionless. When the voice of Jesus pled with him, he hardened his heart. What caution do we get from this story? What will he see when he awakes at the end of the millennium? He'll see wicked people around him and realize his lostness. He's going to see the beautiful New Jerusalem. He could have been there. Who will he see inside the New Jerusalem? Hope he'll see you there. People who responded to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He will see John the Baptist, who he beheaded. Herod will see Jesus. His self-reproach will be terrible. He could have had eternal life and happiness, but by making the wrong choice, Herod is lost forever. Please don't get lost forever. Fire comes down and Herod Antipas is devoured. In the heart of Jesus there is pain. He wanted to save Herod, but Herod did not allow him to save him. Allow the Savior to save you. You cannot do it yourself. He wants to do it for you. Is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart? He wants you to share eternity with him. It's only good news. Do not delay if you have to make things right. Tomorrow may be too late. The greatest proof that I love him is my full surrender and obedience to his law of love. Your response? Next time we will attend the last trial before Pilate. May you be spiritually revived as you meditate on the beautiful life of Jesus. Father in heaven, help us to be careful. Help us to be prayerful. Help us to deny our selfish nature. And help us to allow you to save us. In Jesus' name, Amen. Thank you.